Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that is not good enough. Okay, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. You guys are always a little nervous when I first begin speaking, and then the Holy Spirit kicks in, and then I'm fine. But I'm always nervous at the beginning, so bear with me, and I am fighting off some little bronchial stuff as well, so forgive me. My name is Christine Wojcik. And I am blessed and excited to be here. We do have a few slides to show you guys, just in my family, just so you know who I'm talking about. So I hate pictures of myself. Don't you hate when you see pictures of yourself? Anyone else you can see but yourself up there. This is my husband, Derek. We have been married, it'll be 22 years in March. If you can go on to the next one, this is Sarah, who's also in the back. Wave your hand, Sarah. Higher. That was horrible. So this is our oldest. Sarah just turned 19. And then after Sarah is David. David just turned 17. And then we have Tommy. Tommy is 14. And then we have Stephen, who is 12. And then we have Benjamin, who is 9. And yes, that's one girl and four boys. I'm sure you guys have a little more respect for me now with four boys. You guys know what I go through. But you can go ahead and take those down now. So you guys, I am so blessed to be here. I want to start with just encouraging each other in our motherhood. Because one thing we can feel is alone a lot of the time. So you guys got to be honest. This is just a safe place for all of us here. So I want you guys to raise your hand if you have felt if you have felt overwhelmed or stressed in the last month of mothering, raise your hand. And mine is up, as you notice. Okay, put them down. If you have felt defeated in motherhood in the last month, raise your hand. Okay. And if you have felt depressed in the last month, mine is up for all those in the last month. If you have felt all those things just this morning, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I did. I swear I felt them this morning too. But you guys, when you look around, you know, take comfort that you are not alone in your mothering and with the feelings, the up and down feelings that we can have as a mom. So today, I want you guys, my prayer is that you will walk out different than how you walked in. Today, know that you are not alone in your mothering. Let's pray. Father God, we give you glory, precious Jesus. Father, we pray today that you be honored, magnified, glorified, that we just see you today, that we just hear your words today. Father, I pray that you speak through me, that you speak to me, Lord God. I pray that you speak to the hearts of the women, that you encourage them, that you let them know that you are here and open. You have open arms for each of us, Lord God. Help us see you as a place to run to when we're struggling, when we need answers in our mothering, Lord God. I pray that you open our eyes and our ears and our heart this morning for what you have in store for us, Lord. We just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, ladies, so our topic today is how to bond our hearts more closely with the hearts of our children. My kids, as you guys saw, are older than a lot of your kids, but God gave me all the truths that I'm sharing today. He gave me all of these truths when my kids were toddlers, when Sarah was a toddler, and I'm hoping to give you today a foundation that you guys can start building upon so that when you have teens and tweens, as I do, you already have these established. So God has given me 6 steps in my mothering. These 6 steps have changed my life. He has given me joy and fulfillment and satisfaction in my mothering. So much joy. For each step, we'll take a look at what God has to say about it, how we can apply it to our family, and then I'll share an example from my own family. Let's go ahead and start. If you can do the first slide, we're going to start with P for purpose. This is our first step. And Exodus 9:16 says, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So, ladies, God has raised you up for so many purposes, but being a mom is one of the most precious, one of the most important that you're going to have. Out of all the moms that God had to choose from, He chose you. No one else could take your place as your kid's mom. He saw you, he chose you, he equipped you, and he called you to be the very best mom that you could be. Just as God has a purpose that we just read for your life, we have to have a purpose in our parenting. My purpose is found in Deuteronomy 6:5, and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's my purpose as a mom. How do I do that? Verses 6 and 7 tell me the answer. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." I'm encouraging you guys to find a purpose in your parenting and start building upon that purpose. Talk to your friends. Talk with your husband. Pray with your husband. Search the scriptures for that purpose. And then pray, "Lord, how do I start carrying that out in my children's lives on a daily basis?" My desire was for this verse because I desire above all else that my kids have a contagious, passionate, all-encompassing love for Jesus and that they will actively pursue him and his word. So find that purpose, lay hold on it, and start building upon it. My purpose was challenged last summer with my daughter, Sarah. And it was the first time, really, I feel like in parenting that God had brought this purpose to kind of test my heart with it. And so Sarah went a few summers ago to Nicaragua, not the summer, the past one, to Nicaragua on a missions trip. And she came home and she was like, "It changed my life." And my husband and I were like, "Okay, she's kind of on a high, you know, she'll come down off." Well, she didn't come down. She's still not down from it. It's been over a year. And Sarah came to us a few months later and said, "I need to be a missionary. I need to go. I can't go to a third world country and see the things that I saw and then come back to wealthy Northern Virginia and forget the things that I saw and witnessed there." And so I was like, "Okay, that's great." Yeah, I kind of humored her a little bit. And then she never backed down from what God put on her heart. And my husband and I didn't speak about it right away, but for like a month, we were feeling the same way. Like, oh my goodness, our daughter could be going away to another country. And for about the next few months, I was still wrestling with this. God just didn't give me a peace about it. And one day, I was taking my younger boys on a bike ride, and I was running. Okay, I was walking, let's be honest. I was walking. They were on their bikes, and they left me in the dust. And I remember exactly where I was in South Riding, and I could cry just thinking of it. And God gave me a vision of when I was nursing Sarah. So for 14 months, I would read this same Bible every day to Sarah as a new baby, because I know that God's word doesn't return void. My prayer was that it would give her a love for scripture and a love for Jesus at a young age. And God stopped me right on the corner, and I saw that vision of me reading my Bible and nursing her. And he said, "You begged me for this. You begged me she'd serve me all the days of her life and that I would be her first love. And now I'm calling her to the mission field, and you're challenging me, and you're pointing your finger at me." And I remember I said, "Lord, I have three women that are close to me. It's my mom, it's my best friend, Jackie, and it's my best friend, Sarah. Don't take her from me." And he just kept giving me that vision of nursing and reading. "You said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And once he reminded me of my purpose for Sarah and for being Sarah's mom, instantly I was like, "She's got to go. She's got to go." And so in the last year, he has completely confirmed her calling. He's given my husband and I a total peace. And she actually leaves in, what, 29 days? She doesn't know what country she's going to yet, but she's going in 29 days. And I couldn't have more of a peace because God had given me a purpose with a newborn baby. So get that purpose in your heart. Second step, if you can go to the next slide, is R for refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. This is big, I think, for a mom. God says that if we come to him, he is very abundantly, infinitely present, available to take care of my mothering, my worries, my cares, my fears, my problems, and all of those for my kids as well. In our mothering, we have so many ups and downs. We all raised our hand. We can easily feel discouraged, disheartened, and devoured. So where do you run to when your heart needs to be picked up? As a mom, he tells us where to run to. And the same thing applies with our children. Our kids need, they have a heavenly refuge, but they need an earthly refuge. And that is us as the mom, I believe God has called us to. I can tell you with certainty, with having three teenagers and two knocking at the door, if you are not available for your kids, start building it now. Because if you are not available with your ear and heart listening, they will find another refuge if you are not there. And an example I have is my son David. David, who's now 17, a few years back, was going through bullying in middle school, severe bullying. The name calling and the teasing was one thing, but it was pushing his head in a trash can in the cafeteria in front of the whole school, you know, just humiliating, things like that. And David is the kind of kid, Sarah knows this, like he doesn't open his heart unless like the moon and the stars all line up together and then he'll share a problem. And he was coming home every single day, for about 2 months, and he was crying and weeping about being bullied. And he would come in, and some days he would say, "Mom, just rub my back, just rub my back, just rub my hair." And there's other days he'd come in and cry. And it became a trial in his life where he's like, "Mom, we are praying and begging God for deliverance, and God's not delivering me from this bully." And I would be claiming the scriptures and praying, and then Dave and I would separate, and I would be like, "God, what are you doing?" Like, I knew that God was hearing our prayer, but he was not delivering David at this time. And and it continued. 2 months, David would come home every single day from school and no change would happen. We had gone to the school and they weren't doing much and everything. It was tough. And I remember on like a Wednesday, God said to me, he gave me a verse and he said that David would be delivered that week. Deliverance is coming for David. And I claimed it. And I showed David the verse. I said, "God has said you will be delivered this week." And David came home that Friday and he came in and I was like, "How'd it go?" And he was like, "It's the worst day I've ever had." And I remember my heart spilled as well as David's because I felt like, "God, you failed my son and me." I felt me. And the next day, David had a soccer game, and he scored 3 goals, which is a hat trick in soccer, and people threw their hats, the little fans that were there, we threw our hats, and he had a hat trick, and the team is thrilled, the grandparents were there, and I start sobbing, like snot coming down my nose, snobbing, and people were looking at me like, "It's not a big deal, like other kids have had 3 goals, and your kids know better than mine." It had nothing to do with the goals. I questioned God's faithfulness because I expected my son to be delivered from the bully on that Friday. But God knew my son needed those 3 goals and the hats coming out. That was the way God met him. It was not in the way that I expected. So my tears was conviction and of my sin, of doubting God. And for some reason, that bully never bothered David again. So I was an earthly refuge for David, but God taught both of us the same amount of lessons through that time. The third step is A, being an anchor for our kids. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Christ is our anchor. And if you notice what it stabilizes our soul. And I'm so grateful as a mom that he's my anchor to anchor my heart and my mind and my emotions with being a mom. But we have got to be an anchor for our kids, especially as they get older. Grab hold of the anchor of parenting. So when your kids are drifting towards something dangerous, the wind is kicking up, the current is strong, and the fiercest wind is approaching, fiercest storm, your kids need you to anchor their heart and mind when they cannot do it for themselves. And this comes much faster than you guys will expect with young kids. I do have permission to share this story. This comes from my son, Tommy. who just took a selfie and said, "I'm praying for you, Mom," right before I came up. But Tommy is our middle child, very even, not a troublemaker, unlike me, I was the middle child. But he was just moody for like 2 weeks, just being moody and difficult and snapping at me, and we're very close. And I was like, "What's going on?" And he was like, "Nothing, Mom, I'm fine." And one day I was up in his room, and I was folding laundry, and he was talking, and he just was disrespectful. I'm like, "Tommy, what is going on in your heart?" And he starts bawling. And he said, "Mom, you know when I had that history report?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I Googled this, and this came up. And I saw this pornography, and I can't stop. I can't stop. And I don't know how to stop on my own. And this is when we have to anchor our kids." I said, "Well, how many times did you look?" And I said, "Is it more than five?" And he said, "It is." And I said, "Is it less than like 20? And he's like, "It is." And so my husband and I, you know, Tommy and I prayed. We talked a lot about it. And I grabbed my husband. And Derek is doing a purity book with Tommy. And, you know, we're praying. And Derek and I were fasting once a week. And then like a couple months later, Tommy and I were alone. We were coming back from soccer. And he just started sobbing. And he's like, "I can't stop. I can't stop." He was about 11. And I knew at that time, your heart breaks for what he's saying, but I also am thinking he has seen things that his heart cannot process, that his mind can't process, that his eyes can't process at that age, and that the decisions he is making at 11 can affect his rest of his life and his marriage more than he knows. And I saw him unable to control himself, he needed parents to anchor him to Jesus and grab that chain and actually link him to Jesus because he couldn't do it for himself. And I can tell you, Tommy has victory in this area, but this is always going to be a temptation for him. And even last week, he said, "Make me leave my door open at night, because I need to set some better safeguards." So we have to be an anchor for our kids when that storm is approaching. The next step is why. And this is yourself, which kind of sounds like a funny one, but you'll find out why. Psalm 51:6 says, "Yet you desire truth and sincerity in the inner man." It's always my hardest page to write, as Sarah knows. See, it's a lot of fun when I'm poking fun at my own family, but when it's me, then it's not so much fun. In this verse, God, keep your eyes on that verse for a moment as I talk. God is talking about the deep places of your heart. I'm talking about the secret places that no one else knows about. This is your innermost thoughts, feelings, and secrets before the Lord. See, God is in the business of getting to the heart of the matter. He does not care about our exterior, but the interior. It is a journey for us as women, as moms, to get real, especially I think in Northern Virginia, to get real and to get right with God and with yourself. With your kids, ladies, be real and be honest. Be tangible, be relatable, be authentic, and be genuine with them. Our kids need us to live life and to live it abundantly. When you have things going on in your heart, you have to run to the Lord with them. Don't lock them inside. I'm not talking about our kids seeing private all the details of our heart, but I'm talking about them seeing you go through trials, seeing you persevere, seeing where you run to. Do you go to scripture? Are you praying? Are you praising God through it? Do you fight through a trial? Or do they see you kind of crumble? And that's okay too. They can see you crumble, but they have to see you turn to God with it. This is the one for me that I've been going through the last 4 years. September 2nd that just passed. So growing up, my mom has been my best friend my whole life, inseparable. Like in high school, I went home every weekend for like Yahtzee night with my parents. I mean, I've always been close with my parents. And my mom, I'm the mom I am today because God working through my mom. So 4 years ago, September 2nd, my mom stopped talking to me. And I don't know why, and we have apologized and asked for forgiveness. I want to give my mom respect as I speak and honor, because I know what a wonderful woman she is. She taught me everything I know about scripture. But the relationship stopped. And I felt like the rug was pulled out from under me. My mom's 25 minutes from me, And I haven't seen her. I haven't talked to her. I haven't felt her hugs. I haven't heard her quote scripture for 4 years. She's cut out my husband, my children, my brother, his wife, and their children. And my dad doesn't speak to us either. And that rug feels, it feels like I lost my foundation for a while. And I didn't realize some of my foundation was built upon my mom, but it was. And until that changed, I grieved a lot. I gained a lot of weight, and I had hair loss, and I was sick, and I didn't know who my identity was. I knew it was in Christ, but I lost it for a while there. And, you know, the holidays are tough for me. It's a burden because she made holidays come alive. And I grieve for her, and I long for her. But God has told me in Psalms, if you look to the right and your family's not there, and you look to the left and your friends are not there, and you look behind you, there's no one there. But when you look straight ahead, who do I have but you, O Lord? I am there. And so I just encourage you guys, my kids, especially Sarah, because she was the closest to my mom, she has to see me struggle and wrestle because she has to see me find the Lord in it, because it will lead her and my kids, as they see me being authentic, to go through an agony, a little Gethsemane moment, but to find Jesus faithful through going through it. And I'm more confident now than I've ever been of my foundation being upon him. And just this week, as I was preparing for the lessons, God gave me the verse that says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Psalm 28. So he's let me know I'm not a castaway with him. You're not a castaway. Okay, thank God we got through that one. Okay, the next step that we're going to do is engage E. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This verse tells us that God loves us so much that his love, that it motivates him to draw near to us. We're so busy as moms. I know how much we have to do. But the most important thing is to let your love motivate you to draw near to your children. I think as you guys are in a younger stage, I can tell you, rarely do I get close to my children, even all these years, by just sitting on the sofa with them. Rarely is that the way. It's usually I connect to my kids by throwing a football, kicking a soccer ball, Bible stories, reading together, homework, coloring, puzzles, board games, toilet training, bedtime, cooking, cleaning, praying, riding in the car, listening to music, rubbing their backs and feet, lending a shoulder to cry on, offering advice, and reaching out and loving their friends and welcoming them into our home. It's a matter of drawing them out and engaging their heart to discover who they are. What are their likes? What are their dislikes? What are their dreams, their fears, their hopes, their worries, their problems? By drawing them out, then I share my heart, my wisdom, my silly childhood stories, my traditions, my hopes and dreams for them. And therefore, the trust between mom and child grows. These are the moments that you realize that you don't just love your kids, you like them and you enjoy them. So take those moments, put things away. For me, I have to put my vacuum away. That's the thing that I like love to do is vacuum. Put it away and get out there and plug into your kids. Engage them the way God engages you each day. Our last step is R, which is rescue. He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. So this kind of rescue is a little bit different than refuge. This is quick and it's fast. It's not as deep. Sometimes your kids don't even realize that you're the one who sent the life preserver that saved them. It's a quick refuge. So I have two stories for this one, for my younger two children. So the first one is Stephen, who is my now 12-year-old. So in Loudoun County, we start middle school in sixth grade. And so I knew he was really nervous. And so we went up to the school as a family, Tommy and I and Stephen. And Tommy was was in eighth grade. He's putting his books away and stuff. And Stephen and I were at the lockers. And he's left-handed. And so we're trying to do the combination. And so I did it, and I showed him, and I was like, oh, we did. Then he tries to do it. He couldn't do it. And then he couldn't do it. And then I did it. And then he did it. We're going back and forth. And all of a sudden, The fountains open up on that sweet boy's face, and he starts sobbing, falls down at his locker, and he's like, I'm never going to make it in middle school. I'm so scared. I'm going to get lost. I can't even open my locker. All of his heart comes out. Quick refuge. That's all he needed. And he's bawling his eyes out. And I sat down with him. We're in front of his locker. We were alone in the school. There was just like teachers. There wasn't other students. And I'm holding on to him. And then I said, well, let's pray. And I'm praying. And then I'm done. And he's still crying. And like this teacher walks by. I'll never forget the look he gave me. Like, I hope I don't get that kid. I'm like, oh. And then the next teacher walks by. And they're like, yeah, good luck with that one. You know, like I could see the judgmentalness on their face. And so we prayed. And then we got back up. And we tried it again. And he finally got it. And what's funny is that Stephen actually became the first middle schooler out of the first four that had the most successful first year of straight A's and did phenomenal. But the thing was that Quick Refuge is not only did I pray there on the floor, but I prayed all summer, the rest of the summer and the year for him in middle school, that God would meet him and his nerves and be a rescue for him right where he was. So sometimes it's not this big, deep ordeal. It's a quick, fast rescue. Our kids, he didn't even know how much I prayed for him that year to get him through middle school. It's quick and fast. And then Benjamin last year, so I was helping out in the class once a month, and I go in, Ben was in second grade, and I go in and I'm helping the teacher with things, and she's passing out papers to all the kids. And then I look up, and of course you're looking at your child being the cutest one in the class, and I'm looking at Ben, and he gets his paper, and I see him go, and he starts crying, and I'm like, what is he doing? Whose kid is that? What? So I'm thinking, isn't he embarrassed? And he starts crying, and I said to his teacher, what is he doing? And she goes, I have no idea, but he does it all the time, Christine. And I said, but I've never seen him do that. And she goes, every time anything's hard, Benjamin just starts in the face. And she's like, the whole thing starts squishing and falling down. And then the tears come. And she's like, it's this big dramatic workup in the face. And the emotions come and he's crying. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. There's cute girls on both sides. He doesn't care. But I envisioned, I'm sitting there and I kind of zoned out. I remember I was at her podium and I just was looking at him and I was thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to be on the first day of college. And I was like, oh my gosh, his wedding night with his wife. And his first job. And I'm like, he is never going to make it emotionally through this poor child. And I talked to him when he got home and he's like, I'm like, aren't you embarrassed? And he's like, no, not at all. And I was like, okay, clearly. Here's the thing. It's a quick refuge. Benjamin and I prayed every night specifically when he would receive something hard, that he would be able to process it emotionally. We prayed throughout the entire, that was like the end, he did the entire year. And then that summer, I made sure that his confidence was built in Jesus. His quiet times were upped tremendously. And everything he accomplished, I made sure that I just made a big deal to him so that his confidence was up. And then he started next year, the following school year, and I remember I met the teacher. I'm like, does he cry? And she was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, does he do the face? She's like, Christine, he's never done that. And he just needed, again, he doesn't know I prayed for him for an entire year. He needed a quick refuge in a mom to help him get through that school year, to build some confidence. He learned to ride his bike, could pop a wheel. He did these things. He needed mom to make a big deal to be that quick refuge for him. So don't miss those moments with your kid. And it can be potty training and simple things like that. Okay, that's not simple. But you know, little things like that, that you can build your child's confidence by just being an undercover prayer warrior for them that they don't know about. So here we are at the end. I'm sure you've noticed. Do I have one more slide? Okay. I'm sure you noticed the acronyms there. We have purpose, refuge, anchor yourself, engage, and rescue. And the acronyms are for prayer. And one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 24:16 for mothering. And it says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but they get up. And I'm saying to you guys today, a righteous mother may fall 70 times, but she gets up. It doesn't matter how many times we fall, we fail, we sin, we mess up, because we're going to. It doesn't matter all the stumbles we make in a day, how many times we yell and lose our patience. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we get up. We get up to Jesus. We dust ourselves off and we press forward again. We ask for forgiveness. I can't tell you how many times, don't say anything, Sarah, how many times I've had to apologize and ask for forgiveness for yelling and sinning against my kids and not showing, not modeling Christ. But we get up. That's all that verse says. We're going to fall. We get up. Jesus helps us get up. So what I want you guys to see is the prayer in all those things, is praying for your kids daily. Fervent, passionate, sincere, and heartfelt prayers are needed for your kids every single day. And we have pornography enter our home with an 11-year-old. It comes so much faster than you guys realize. Heartfelt prayers are needed for your children every day. That is our answer to raising kids that we can fully connect with, and so that they can fully connect with Jesus. So lastly, I just want to leave you guys with, you know, in our house, especially after school, you know, it's chore time and it's homework and everything. Every day since the kids were born, it is Bible time each day. And I encourage you guys, I don't care the age, I don't care if you have to read, keep your kids in the Word. That is the best way to help them fall in love with Jesus and to keep Him first place in their life. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, just breathe you in right now. Father, we praise you for making us moms. That is, I'm sure, the desire, is the desire on all of our hearts, was to be a mom. And I thank you that you handpicked us for all of our kids, that you trust us enough to give us these precious babies, children, Lord, into our home. Father, it's so easy to feel defeated in our mothering and to feel like our mothering is going nowhere. But Father, you see it differently. The world is passing over mothers right now, but you are not. Father, I pray right now for each of us as moms that you strengthen us, that you settle our hearts and minds. If we feel lost in mothering, I pray that you refresh and renew us. I pray that you give us a fresh word and a fresh perspective and a fresh desire. Father, give us a passionate, all-encompassing love for Jesus so that we can lead our kids to the same. Father, I pray that you meet us where we are in our struggles. Father, I know I had one child, Lord, that I just love them all the same, but this one child tested my heart, where some days I actually even felt like I loved him, but I didn't like him sometimes, Lord. And I pray for the moms that feel that way towards a child, that you turn her heart towards that child and bond them more closely together, Lord. I pray, Father, that you are glorified in our homes and in our mothering. May nothing be more important than us as moms except for Jesus and our marriage. May everything else come in a close, not even a close last place, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you just give us unity with Jesus and with our husbands to honor and respect them and to parent biblically together, Lord. Father, we just give you all the praise. And Father, we thank you. Just lastly, the verse just popped in my head with Mary, Lord, how she purposed and she put all these things in her heart. And I pray that you tuck everything in our heart that we feel about us as moms. And I pray that you make it come alive. Give us a new day. See, I am doing a new thing as a mom, Lord. And I pray that you just revive us in our mothering, Lord, over this Christmas season. May that just be the biggest gift that we could receive, Lord, is to be a new mom with a fresh perspective and Jesus at the forefront, Lord. Father, I ask for a blessing for these moms, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I pray that you overwhelm them with your love this Christmas, Lord. We give you all the praise. You are such a great, faithful Lord, and we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.